Welcome, everybody.
We are live.
My name is Jason Aponte.
I am Andrew Pasquini.
We're working. That's it. We're working over here. That's it. Let's go, Niners.
Let's go, Niners. I think that means the preseason is over. We are in regular season mode. New fire intro. Shout out 49by365 on Twitter for that. This is the Sprint Ride Option Podcast. I am Andrew Pasquini with Jason Aponte, part of the Blue Wire Hustle Network. Jason Aponte, how was your weekend?
It was good. A lot of football, a lot of watching dress rehearsals so I could figure out stuff for my fantasy football drafts and getting down to this 53-man roster that has to be done tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Shout out to everybody in the chat right now. And if you are watching live right now on YouTube, make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel for more content.
And if you're listening afterwards on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe and download as well there too. Not enough. No such thing as too much Sprint Ride Option Podcast, in my opinion. Jason, you mentioned it. We talked about you mentioned that the dress rehearsal happened. It was a dress rehearsal for one team because the Raiders, John Gruden did things that. Did you know Nathan Peterman played every snap for the Raiders this preseason?
I mean, find you someone that loves you the way that John Gruden loves Nathan Peterman.
I guess, man. That's a wild way. Yeah, the Raiders definitely didn't get the memo on the dress rehearsal. The 49ers dominated the Raiders. I mean, as much as you can dominate a team, 34-10. And, I mean, it makes sense. The Niners went out there with all their starters. They played it like a normal game. The Raiders did not, and that's kind of what you expected. It was very fun to see all the Niners out there. I yelled at George Kittle a little bit from my couch because he made that one catch, and instead of, like, ducking out of bounds, he tried to run through the Raiders' defense. And I'm just like, hey, man, we know you do that. Let's save that for the regular season. We don't need that in the preseason. But it was exciting, man, to see Trent Williams and all the guys we haven't seen in the preseason. And as I said at the start, man, it's the regular season now. The preseason is done.
Yeah, and Trent Williams is in midseason form throwing people out of the club. I mean, what happens if you're a defender at the second level and you see this mountain of a man running at you and he's super fast and he's just going to really throw you out? Like, what do you do?
He makes other grown men just look like children, and that's a trait that I don't think you and I will ever understand of having. Because we're just average-sized people who move at average speeds. Trent Williams is a massive man who moves like he is significantly smaller than he is. And that is terrifying. Reference to Game of Thrones where I'm at. I just got introduced to the mountain. And that's roughly what he is. It's kind of terrifying. And they were explaining who the mountain was and how big and how fast. I think it was the Viper who was explaining it. Or it was Bronn, whoever it was. And I was just like, man. They're just explaining Trent Williams, and that's what it is. And I'm happy he's on the Niners. Like, he's very good at what he does. There's a reason the Niners they didn't give up a ton for him, but there's a reason the Niners were like, yeah, Joe Staley, you do what you want to do. We got this plan figured out. And Trent Williams, he's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and also, speaking of screaming at players, you talked about George Kittle. Apparently there's two mobile quarterbacks on this roster now, and somebody is trying to go ahead and up with the other person, because when Jimmy Garoppolo put his head down in between those two guys, I kind of yelled as well too. Like, please, no, like, don't, you know, so.
Yes. And just a heads up for everybody. This is going to be a very quarterback specific episode because I feel like that was the biggest thing that happened yesterday. I mentioned the Raiders didn't really go out there with their A team. They had their background and all the, or their backups, not their background, their backups playing. And so I don't really want to take too much of how the 49ers look. I wanted to look at the individual pieces and kind of how things were ran. And the biggest thing we're talking about is the two quarterback system and how smoothly it ran with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo swapping out platooning. We thought we were going to get Trey Lance in the red zone after the reports last week. That ended up not being the case because Garoppolo came in the red zone as well. And I have a lot of thoughts about what happened yesterday. But, Jason, I want to hear what your thoughts are with the quarterback. And do you, like, I guess the big question is do you think it's sustainable? Like, it's
I mean, sustainable, that's another thing, but I think that it is something that you're going to see in week one, just based on the way Kyle Shanahan was talking about it. And I understand that, you know, when he was going into the tunnel at halftime, he talked about probably not with the two quarterback system, but I think that you're definitely going to see something like this. The only thing that kind of worries me, and this is me playing devil's advocate with myself, is the rhythm thing. You know, one guy needs to be in rhythm, both of them should be in rhythm, and then to compare it to the Drew Brees, Taysom Hill thing, here's the issue that they ran into. It became predictable when Taysom Hill was on the field. And that's why this isn't similar to the Trey Lance thing. This isn't the same thing. Trey Lance actually can throw the ball. Taysom Hill can't. Okay? So that's why, you know, I understand the comparison because of flipping the two quarterbacks in and out. But it was like a 98% chance that Taysom Hill was going to tuck the ball and run. And that's the sort of thing that won't happen, at least when it comes to being predictable in this, because as you saw, and the other thing is it will be one play at a time. Taysom Hill will come on for one play and then come off. It was a little bit weird to see Trey Lance out there for two plays in a row, two or three plays, and then Jimmy Garoppolo comes back in the red zone, like right there at that point, especially when we all thought that that's where Trey Lance would be used. So I just think that Kyle Shanahan right now is messing with not only the fans and the media, but he's messing with defensive coordinators. He's going to put this in the back of your mind that this is something you need to prepare for. And how do you prepare for it? As you saw with the Trey Lance touchdown in the red zone of, you know, Jalen Hurd in motion, use check running one way, Sermon going the other way. He just pulls it. And by the time everybody figures out where it is, Trey Lance is walking in the end zone. Yeah. That's the sort of problems that Trey Lance and this rushing offense is going to cause anyone who's trying to defend it.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the Taysom Hill Drew Brees comparison, because that was the thing. Is Taysom Hill can only run the ball because he's not a quarterback. No matter what Sean Payton wants to tell you, he's not a quarterback. He is a gadget player, which is fine if you keep him in that thing. But the fact he started Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston, I don't need to go on a tangent on that right now. It made it seem like maybe he would tease Taysom Hill more as a thrower, but that never really was the case when he was platoon. I think more so what the Niners are doing is platooning, where I guess what Sean Payton did was hot swapping, because Taysom Hill would be out there for one play. This feels like a platoon, not to use a baseball term. It's not even situational. It's just, you know, hey, how do we want to get these yards? And Kyle Shanahan said, well, it might be easier if we get Trey Lance in there. It might be easier if we get Garoppolo in there. And to me, as a fan, I don't know how sustainable it is either. I really don't. I'm intrigued to see how long it's used in the regular season. But let me tell you this as a fan, because I know I'm on 49ers Twitter. Jason, you're on 49ers Twitter. We can say there is a very pro-Jimmy Garoppolo Twitter. There's a very anti-Jimmy Garoppolo Twitter who also really likes Trey Lance. I think no matter what side of that spectrum you're on, you have to be excited about this, because this is entertaining. This is entertainment. And as a fan, I go, and yes, I want the Niners to win. I want them to win every game. But if they're not going to win every game, I want to be entertained. And this is what it is. Like this hot swap, or the platoon, I'm going to use that word, it's entertaining. For the first time in my life, I was very excited to watch a preseason game. The second Trey Lance got swapped in and you see Garoppolo taking his chin strap off, I kind of like was like, oh, whoa, what's going on here? And then Garoppolo comes back in and it's entertaining. And that's all I look for when I watch a team, any football game, is I want to be entertained. And so, as I said, I know there's very pro and anti Jimmy Garoppolo, but man, this almost feels like the best way to deal with this situation, because I feel like you have two very different quarterbacks and you can kind of get the best of both worlds here. And as I said, sustainability, I don't know. But for one game, man, and one preseason game against the Raiders, it looks like it can work pretty damn well.
Yeah, it's just, again, all the stress that causes with the run game. And, of course, Trey Lance can throw the ball. And, we can go into individual performances and how they did, because eventually, you know, Trey took over for a little while. Unfortunately, has a chip in his, you know, one of his right hand, his fingers or something like that. So he's going to be out for a week. But, hey, that's fine. There's an entire week where he doesn't have to really do anything. So I don't want to say it's a good thing it happened, but if it was going to happen at any time, let it just happen now at this point. And, again, I don't underestimate the fact that Kyle Shanahan is just screwing with everybody at this point, because I think that he relishes this idea that, oh, you haven't named a starter. And, you know, and then Jimmy Garoppolo at the press conference is smiling ear to ear because I think he knows that there's something like this in the works where, you know, first drive against Detroit, hope Don Burr's in here. First drive against Detroit, you're gonna get a few Jimmy Garoppolo plays, and then you'll get your little subset package of Trey Lance, and then the defense has to completely change everything that they're doing when Trey Lance is on the field. And as a defensive coordinator, that's a nightmare to have everybody understand. Okay, at the mess point, what are we doing? Are we just all out attacking the blitz? Are we all out attacking the ball carrier? Or are we gonna attack the quarterback? These are things that. You know, if your personnel's not right, if Kyle Shanahan catches you in the right personnel and he sends out Trey Lance and now you've got slower linebackers on the field or maybe not enough DBs or anything like that, that's going to be the sort of thing that he wants to do. So I think that, you know, I don't know if this is going to be something that they're going to be doing. I'm kind of expecting it to be that way, but I could see why Kyle wants to mess around with people's heads. I mean, Dan Campbell's probably like I said, sitting in his house right now, not worried about it. I don't care. We're just going to hit everybody. We're going to hit everybody, and we're going to stop the whole thing. So, I mean, he doesn't really care, you know, but other smart defensive coordinators and coaches are going to be afraid about this. So,
yeah. And it's the most Kyle Shanahan thing at this point. It really is, right? Like to be able to do this, not just do it, because we've seen it a little bit with Sean Payton, but Kyle Shanahan's going to almost, like, it feels like this is something he's going to perfect just because of how good he is at offensive play calling. And I think Jason froze on me, so I don't know if he's here. Oh, wait,
I'm back.
Moving. That's okay. We're good. So it's exciting. It's very exciting. And we can talk about the individual performances. I think one thing Jimmy Garoppolo has done best this preseason, and I'm still not going to say he's great at it because, you know, it's the preseason, but he has looked better in the pocket. He's looked more aware, more mobile in the pocket. He had that 10-yard run against the Chargers last week. He had the touchdown run yesterday, against the Raiders. He looks like he's standing in the pocket a little better, and I don't know if it's because he's feeling 100% healthy or if he's 100% mentally over the leg injuries, because you mentioned it last week is how long it takes to get over those injuries mentally. So I think for Garoppolo, I think the way he's looked in the pocket, I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah. I mean, those are good points after the Chargers game, that nice, you know, the pocket awareness to feel the pressure and be able to step up and make those moves and everything as well too. So that's good. You know, I'm really, 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 I was kind of scared. Like I said, I was scared when I saw him put his head down, like in heads like that. It's like, I get it, bro. Like, you know, you're trying to do everything that you can to keep this job and you know, show everybody that you're still about it. But also, chill out, man. Chill out. Like, let's get to week one. And you can show us in week one. If you want to make that play again in week one, fine. You know, that's when the games count, when the bullets are flying. I like the heart. I saw the spike. He seemed really hype about it. That's cool. But as of right now, I think what I'm more impressed with is that, you know, a lot of people want to paint Jimmy Garoppolo as some sort of, like, victim. But, you know, oh, look how he's handling it. He's a professional quarterback. You know, of course he's going to handle it this way. Any sane person who's making this amount of money would have. So it's not necessarily I'm impressed with that. But it seems like when you're talking about shuffling in quarterbacks, that looked pretty seamless. There wasn't really much confusion. Like, it wasn't something like where guys were looking around like, oh, what do we do? Seems like something they were practicing, and they had an idea of what they were going to do with that first drive, and it looked good. Now, does that mean that that's going to work in the season or be sustainable? No, but at the same time, this looks like something that was a plan, and I think that they both executed it really well that first drive.
Yeah, I mean, this is the maybe the best way that we get that part of 49ers Twitter who's convinced Trey Lance is the week one starter. This is like their outside shot. Is let's just say the first play of the game is Kyle Shanahan's like, okay, we're gonna run a zone read or option. What I still don't know what word to use. I'm sorry, guys.
Zone read or read option. Either one of those.
Well, we're just gonna use words. You know, let's say first play of the season, like Trey Lance is out there. Like, there you go. That's your outside shot. There's Trey Lance starting week one. But like, as I said, it's exciting. This is the most, I'm trying to think. I know the Kaepernick years existed, but I think this is the most excited I am for a 49ers offense for as long as I can remember, because there is so many weapons that you can use in so many different ways. And I'm not used to being this excited. I'm used to the Sean Hills and the the Tim Ratays and all those quarterbacks that the Niners have gone through and just being like, yeah, the offense is going to be whatever. This is the first year where it just feels like, man, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun and exciting. And hopefully this offense does what they should do against the Lions and just run through them and make it look seamless.
And if you think that just 49er fans are excited, this is the talk of the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. How is this going to play out? What is Kyle Shanahan going to do? Who's going to start? All of this stuff is intrigued. The national media is having a blast with the 49ers ever since they traded up to 3. And now this is only going to continue now that we have 1 week off and we're getting ready to have the guys go down to Motown or up to Motown, I guess, or across the country to Motown. I think that not only is it exciting for 49er fans, but I think all around it is exciting around the league because I think people are intrigued to see what happens when Kyle Shanahan gets someone with elite traits and what he's able to do with that. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's as I said, it's going to be fun and hopefully it runs through Detroit. Let's move off the quarterbacks. The run game looks like what it should look like, especially
Raheem Mostert's fast. Spoiler alert.
Raheem Mostert very fast. He didn't look like he missed a beat. 7 carries for 53 yards. The offense as a whole, like this is the closest thing we've seen to the NFC Championship game against the Packers. They passed the ball 22 times. They ran 48, and it just kind of dominated.
Yeah, and what you saw immediately, the first play that Trey Lance went in there was a read option to Raheem Mostert. And all those guys that looked like they were in quicksand. And Mostert's already, we already know Mostert has that one cut, hit the hole. That's the one thing that he does better than anybody on this roster, better than many people in the league. You have to give him credit when it comes to that. And you know, like, that's already 15 yards down the field. Like, those are the type of runs that you're talking about when we say it's the NFC Championship game again, because the defense looked helpless. And that's what's going to happen, because when Jimmy Garoppolo was doing it and they were running that well, that's fine. But you never had the threat of Jimmy Garoppolo pulling that ball out of there. And now he's going the other way. So again, the window dressing, all four principles are going to be attacked. This run game is going to be a nightmare. And I think that's kind of what the pro Lance crowd is talking about, right? You're talking about a run game that will be dominant. And no matter who the quarterback is, the 49ers are going to be a run heavy team. That is it. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. But when you talk about how dominant that run game can be with Trey Lance, and then you start to talk about him getting manufactured throws, now you can start to see where the Lance crowd, who wants him to start against, just don't think that that's what's going to happen. They can have a leg to stand on. That's their argument. And it's not wrong to think that way, because Kyle Shanahan does scheme it open. I mean, he schemed open Jalen Hurd a bunch of times. Now, did he catch all the balls? No, but that's just how good he is at doing that. Sorry, didn't mean to throw a shot at Jalen Hurd. It's just, I'm tired of everybody telling me that he's the guy, or that like he's like this big savior. And it's like, man, if anything's indicative of that not being the case, that game right there was it. Couldn't separate. Same thing that he was doing in practices, and he just has no burst. That's it. And I hate the idea that he's going to make this roster and one of these stud defensive linemen who are probably the stars of this entire game is going to have to not be on this team. And I hate that idea.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about the defensive line, too. I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that if at the end of the season we're talking about this defensive line being better than the 2019 team, I don't think that's too crazy of a thing. This defensive line is deep, and it's they're going to have to cut a good player, especially if they choose to keep, another fringe position player like maybe Jalen Hurd. There's other fringe positions. Jalen Hurd just feels like he gets kind of the lightning rod of it because of the idea of him and him being on the team for 2 years and not being able to stay healthy, things like that. And I don't think yesterday helped a lot. I feel like a lot of people were trying to be like, well, look at these bad throws by Trey Lance. I can think of a couple plays that, Jalen Hurd probably led to a bad throw, a route he ran, things like that. So the Jalen Hurd conversation is going to be interesting. And I think that's the player I'm most intrigued with on the 53-man roster cut. See if he makes it, see if they decide to give it a shot, because he's been outplayed. I mean, and I know he hasn't gotten too many chances this preseason, but like, you got guys like Trent Sherfield, you got Mohamed Sanu, who's probably a lock because of his past with,
so is Sherfield.
Sure. Well, Sherfield's 100. I'm saying Sherfield as a matter of fact, like he's right on the roster. Like, to me, I think Sherfield's probably receiver three. I think he's played himself into that.
Yep.
And Jalen Hurd just it's nothing against Jalen Hurd. The idea of Jalen Hurd is fantastic. It's just, are we even going to get to see the idea of Jalen Hurd? And then if the idea of Jalen Hurd does get on the field, it comes down to the execution of it. And yesterday probably wasn't the strongest showing of it. So it's nothing against Jalen Hurd. It's just, I don't know who needs to hear this, but the NFL's hard. It's a lot different. It's a lot different.
You know what else too is, it was clear that Kyle was trying to get him the ball. They were running plays for him to get him involved, and they were force feeding him. I think that kind of held Trey Lance back because they made him the number one read and made him kind of lock in and make sure he threw the ball to Jalen Hurd to see what he had. Also, he was lining up in the wrong spot. So, dude, you're not doing yourself any favor. You had plenty of time to get into that playbook, man. Plenty of time. So, like, Juwan Jennings has to push you out the way. I mean, it wasn't Jennings, right? Yeah, I think it was Jennings had to push him out the way and push him into the right spot. And I was just like, dude, get your head in the game. I don't know what's going on. I understand why he's going to be on this roster. They didn't waste a third-round pick. I don't want to say it. They used a third-round pick on him. But they also said that if he's healthy, he's one of the top six on this roster. So they're going to keep six. Looks like it's going to be Jalen Hurd. We got a donation up here that we should take from Lewis. Thank you.
Luis with the question, and I think it's a good question. How much evidence is there to say Hurd has a chance to be on the team? New fan here. Yeah, it's really the idea of Jalen Hurd is when the Niners drafted him in 19? 18? Whatever year they drafted him in?
Yeah, this is third year. Same year.
Third year, so 18.
Same year that they passed on Terry McLaurin. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to put that out there.
The big thing we heard was his positional versatility. It was he can line up at receiver, he can play tight end, he can play running back. And it was the first feel of Shanahan is bringing in a guy to start this, lack of better term, positionless football, positionless offense, where you can kind of utilize him anywhere on the field. Teams won't know how to you know, attack him because he's going to be in different places. So I really think that a lot of why 49ers Twitter likes Jalen Hurd, and it's part of the reason I like him, is the idea of him. And that's really the biggest say as why he has a chance to make the team, because this is going to be the first year we're going to get to see him healthy, hopefully. We want everybody to stay healthy, and hopefully he can stay healthy. It just comes down to, is the idea of Jalen Hurd worth keeping on the roster? And it seems in Kyle Shanahan's mind, yes, it is.
Yeah, and I think that he's going to make this roster, and it doesn't matter what I think. So I'm done, being upset about it or saying that, you know, who cares what I think? I'm just a guy.
We're both just guys, and we have no say in this position. Because if we had say, Jerick McKinnon's running back one. We have no say at all.
Quarterback one.
Cool. Yeah, that too. I mean, both. Positionless football, Jason. Come on. The defense also looked good. The name I want to mention is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Mm-hmm. Man, it felt like it was going to be hard for him to make a roster spot just because of the depth they have with Tart, with Ward, with Hafanga, with guys like that. I just – he's kind of played into the roster. And I mean, we can't forget that he used to be a very good safety with the Packers. He wasn't as great with Dallas. I don't know. Do you think he's played himself into a spot? Because I think he's looked really damn good there.
I mean, he's got a shot at it. It's really between him and Tavon Wilson. And it's all up to who they really depend on. Because when I was at camp, Tavon Wilson was actually really good and running next to Jimmy Ward in Tart's place. Also, before we get into all that, the reports of Jaquaski Tart's demise were largely overblown.
Say your stuff, Jason.
Let's go. I told you guys. The plan was for him to be ready for week one, and here's why I'm really confident. Sure, you saw him limp off real quick, but guess what? He got back in the game. He played a bunch of reps. This defense is so much better with Ward and Tart up there. They even came out with a nice little sneaky three safety look in the beginning of the game as well, too. But shout out to Jaquaski Tart, friend of the pod. He's out there balling. He looks like he'll be ready for week one. I'm really excited about that. But back to Tavon Wilson. It really is going to come down to whether this regime wants to stick with Wilson, who's a veteran, who's maybe he's 2-3 years older than Clinton Dix. He has the interception, and then I respect Greg Papa and Tim Ryan, but that Woody Woodpecker thing was over the top. It was unnecessary. Like, come on. But if you had to put a gun in my head right now and you asked me of these two, I'd probably say Tavon Wilson, because he was really solid that entire time that Tart wasn't there, and running with Ward with the ones. So I haven't seen, when I was there, Clinton Dix wasn't in camp, And at the joint practices, he wasn't running with one. So I if I had to give the edge to anybody, it would be Tavon Wilson right now.
Hey, Jason Quino, McKinnon's been a running joke here, if you're new.
Oh, it's so a running new, okay. joke. Real quick story. McKinnon from the Wildcat is the meme joke of the Sprint Right Option podcast, guys. Relax, chill out. We joke a lot on here.
We have fun. McKinnon has been a running joke, so please don't take that 100% serious.
It's a joke.
Jason, hey, I appreciate you joining today, especially if this is your first time. Thank you very Absolutely. Much. Tavon Wilson is 31. HaHa Clinton Dix is 28, so a couple years older. I guess the other question is, though, is has he – oh, Jason, I didn't mean to call you out. Sorry, not like that. That wasn't meant in any negative.
No, yeah, and that's yeah. And you're not the only one in here who's probably looking around like, what the hell are they talking about with McKinnon? Because when we did our show against the Chiefs, I wore my 28 jersey, yes. And everybody was like, oh, sweet Trey Sermon jersey. And I said, no, it's Jerick McKinnon's jersey. Jerick McKinnon.
I legit drafted. So I have a fantasy football league that's pretty standard, nothing wild, and we still have kickers. I drafted a kicker with my second to last pick just because I had the very last pick of the draft, and I wanted to make Jerick McKinnon Mr. Irrelevant in the league. That's how much I love him. Back to the safeties now.
Wilson and Dix. I think just give me Wilson at this point.
Do you think there's a case though where they keep five?
That's
something I've seen kind of floated.
The five would be then Tart, Ward, Hufanga, Wilson,
and Clinton.
And then Clinton Dix. Yeah, I mean Jared Maiden actually kind of showed up in that Chargers game as well too. He has a claim. It's just because I joined the podcast and we did a 53-man projection. That's hard because how many you keep at one spot means that you can't keep someone at another spot. So it's going to be very interesting how they figure that out. Also, remember this, Marcel Harris is actually a linebacker. Yeah. So that's where he is. And I think that that hybrid role too, I don't know how they're going to figure out what he is. Is he labeled just as a linebacker? Does he go with the linebacker group? Because I think he's a lock to make the team, but he can also play some safety. So let's see how this all tomorrow's going to be very, very, very interesting. I can't wait.
Well, I think you could put Hufanga in that same kind of category because he not as much as Harris, because Harris has pretty much strictly played linebacker, but they have slipped Hufanga there. Like, it's almost 2021, man. I think there should just be linebacker, safety, and hybrid. Just let's call it what it is. But yeah, man, like, I see people throwing out these 53-man roster predictions, and I'm like, they're all so different. And it's just like, it's so hard. Like, we're just doing this as podcasters, just talking about it. Like, these guys got to make the decision, and there is no easy one because, yes, we talk about Jalen Hurd, but there is a very legitimate argument to keep Jalen Hurd and how you're going to do that and all that. Like, maybe they open up the positions by going two quarterbacks, but if they're really going to go two quarterbacks, this platoon thing, it might be safer to keep three just in case. So there's a lot going on with it. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm excited for it. It's a fun day because, I mean, fun day is relative because obviously people get cut and that sucks and I hate it. But, like, you see the 53-man roster and this is, like, we're going. This is it, man. With the preseason is done. And then the next time we are talking about a game, it's the regular season. So tomorrow should be very, very exciting for 49ers Twitter. It's going to be a very stressful day for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. So that's just what it is.
Right, and those fringe players, who, have worked their tails off. And unfortunately, again, it's less about, hey, you're not that good at what you do. It's more about you have to get under 53 and somebody has to go. So that's the thing that, you guys have to keep in mind. There's going to be a few good players from this team that are not going to be on this team. And it's just how it goes. That's the NFL.
Yeah, there's going to be cuts on the defensive line where you're going to be like, man, that guy, how do you cut him? And it's like, well, there's other guys they have. And it's going to be hard. Jason, I want to talk about another position. Robbie Gould made all four extra points, and Mitch Wishnowsky had a 75-yard punt. And that's the special team segment on today's Sprint Right Option podcast. Also, Simba Webster also talking about return team. There's Don Burr. We've been
there
waiting.
He is.
Don, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Simba Webster.
We already insulted Dan Campbell. Sorry. I mean, I can't reiterate it, so sorry.
Simba Webster had a pretty good return. Do you think he is maybe on the roster just for special teams? Like, this is also just another tough, like, how are they going to cut the 53? Because I think Simba Webster has a case to be made to be a special teams guy.
That's who I want to be the sixth guy, just because, again, you know, we talked about it after the Chiefs game. I saw the 49ers start to drive at the 40 as opposed to just the 25. Wild. Everybody said, yeah, wild that it's possible that you could actually get the ball out past the 25 on kickoffs. Incredible. I had no idea. So, yes, I thought that too. And they use them on jet sweeps as well, too. So it's not like he'll just be, you know, doing whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Big Matt, they have to cut down to 53 by tomorrow at 1?
One.
Is that
one
my time or your time?
One Pacific time. Yeah.
One Pacific time. So, yeah, there's a lot of hard decisions to be made. And as we said, we're pretty happy that we don't have to make those decisions because it's not easy. Jason, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we move on to maybe some three-star talk?
Yeah, I mean, Jermichael Hasty led everybody in the NFC in preseason rushing yards and touchdowns. That's something that was sent out to us with NFL Communications. So he really, you know, started slowly in camp, fumbled, dropped some passes. You know how Kyle mm-hmm. is with that, but he really played well. He played a bunch of snaps in the game before with the Chargers and that nice run, you know. So it's going to be interesting. I think that it's really going to come down to what happens with Gallman, Hasty, and Mitchell. If Hasty goes to the practice squad, someone's going to pick him up. Mm-hmm. If Elijah Mitchell goes on the practice squad, someone's going to pick him up. And I honestly think that Wayne Gallman's going to stick around because he's good at pass pro. Tevin Coleman stuck around in his roster for 2 straight years because he's a Shanahan guy and he knows how to pass pro. So I think they value that, and I think that they know that that's a safe pick. So I think it's really going to come down to Mitchell and Hasty, and that's going to be interesting because I don't think one of them is going to be able to stay on the practice squad without being claimed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pros with Jermichael Hasty. I think he's a pretty damn good running back. The issue is the fumbles. Is Kyle Shanahan still worried about that? Because he hasn't had fumbles the past couple games. But we got to remember that one of the better running backs the Niners have had in the Shanahan era, Matt Breida, he had some fumble issues and he got exiled from the offense. So like Shanahan doesn't take that stuff lightly. So that's my biggest worry with Hasty. I think that, man, Gallman is such an interesting case though, man, because like Hasty and Mitchell, they're probably gone if you send them to the practice squad. So do you just protect them by giving them the spot and cutting Gallman? Like it's, I hate to say it again, it's one of these tough decisions they have to make.
And to Scott's point right here, Cam Report showed Mitchell had 20-plus yard runs every day. He did. Every day that I was there, the only receiving back on this team that is better than Elijah Mitchell right now is Kyle Juszczyk. That's it. So that means technically he is the best running back out of the backfield catching passes. He was beating everybody on one-on-ones. He actually has great hands. But Kyle Juszczyk is different, though. That's a tight end, and they should use him a lot more. I'm dying on that hill. After being at camp this entire year, like this entire camp, watching him beat Fred Warner and anybody else that was in front of him, I just – you pay Kyle Juszczyk a ton of money, use him a little bit more. Split him out wide. He can cook your favorite linebacker. If he's cooking Fred, he's cooking whoever you're going to put in front of him.
Yeah, it's just so many – I hate to say it for the 14th time, just so many tough decisions. It's not going to be an easy day for Shanahan and Lynch. There's about 60 guys who can make this roster, and you only can have 53 of them.
Over under on hours Kyle Shanahan is going to sleep from tonight into tomorrow.
3.5.
Under.
Under, okay.
Way under.
I don't know. Kyle Shanahan seems like a good guy. He probably has some like melatonin tablets that he sleeps and he feels good. Now the question is, I think the easier question to answer is he sleeping in his office tonight? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. For sure. I think he is currently in his office in Santa Clara and he's going through his spreadsheets, all that stuff.
Oh, you had to say spreadsheet.
All the fun stuff. Yeah, I did. All right, any last thoughts, Jason, before we move on to our three stars?
Nope. I actually feel like my screen is frozen, even though you guys can see me moving. I'm good, right? Like, we're good here?
Oh, you're frozen for me, too, but I can hear you.
Oh, see, you can hear me. Yeah, I see you're frozen as well, too. I don't know what's going on today with my computer. Maybe it's overheating, but yeah, I guess we can move on to the three stars. I just won't be able to pull up what we were talking about before.
Hey, well, we have some exciting news to announce, and hopefully we can get the graphic up. Jason's kind of moving now. I don't know. I can't tell anymore. Before three stars, we have to tell you support for the Sprint Ride Option podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SPRINTRIGHT at manscaped.com. Jason and I, we got a great opportunity. We got to try the Lawnmower 4.0, and I loved it. It was, as Jason leaves, I loved it. It worked well. Imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. The Lawnmower 4.0 allows you to customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. My favorite feature on the Lawnmower 4.0 was the light. There's a nice little light on it. It is a 4000K LED spotlight that's on and off when you need a more precise shave. Men, if you've been shaving with the same trimmer on your face, you've been doing it wrong. No one wants to end up with pubes in their mouth. That's a very true fact. And honestly, with my experience on it, you can tell I'm not a big trim guy. I have the beard. I've had this beard. And, you know, the Lawnmower 4.0 gave me that confidence to finally clean up elsewhere. I was happy to use it. And honestly, it was one of my favorite trimmers I've used down there, just because I've never had a specific one, and it made me feel confident and good using it. So once again, get 20% off with free shipping with the code SPRINTRIDE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code SPRINTRIDE. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. I am here by myself. Jason Aponte's computer apparently fried. I don't know what happened. Hopefully you guys can still hear me. Comments if I'm still here and you can hear me, please tell me, because I'm not sure what's happening at this point. Jason's not here. I'm by myself. So I'm going to run through my three stars and hopefully Jason will join back. So just let me know if I'm still here. My three stars, I'm going to start with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He's my third star from the Raider game, just because the interception was there. And as I mentioned earlier, he forced himself into the conversation. I think the Niners felt pretty good at safety with Hufanga, with Ward, with Tart. Marcel Harris, obviously, he's playing linebacker at this point. So the safety depth, it felt pretty solid. Now Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is making a case. He's looked good. He's a ball hawk. He's out there trying to make plays on the balls on the ball. Thank you very much, guys, for letting me know I'm still here. He's looked really impressive, and I think there's a very legitimate case for the Niners to keep five safeties because of him. Tavon Wilson has looked fine as well. It's just Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, when he came in, he felt like a camp body. And now all of a sudden I just think he's forcing a conversation. And I think that is something that needs to be talked about more, because I think it's very tough for a veteran in the game, especially a player like Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who was one of the best safeties in the league with the Packers, kind of disappeared. I believe he was with the Bears at some point, disappeared with the Cowboys as well. And now he's coming back trying to earn a 53-man roster spot. And I think he has definitely joined the conversation. So Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, just for the interception, he is my third star. Jason Aponte, perfect time. Who is your third star for the Raiders-Niner game?
Say again. I'm sorry. My goodness. I don't know what the hell's going on with my laptop, bro. Say again.
Who is your third star from yesterday's game?
Oh, third star. Absolutely. Jermichael Hasty. And as much as I've been, you know, critical of him and how he started and everything as well, he looks very much like what we were excited about last year. But he's been great, honestly. These last few games, he's definitely warranted another look. And he might have played his way onto this roster. That last run was electric. So, yeah, Jermichael Hasty is my third star.
Perfect. I had Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, in case you missed it. That was my third star. Okay. Jermichael Hasty is a very good pick. Ha-ha-ha-ha. My second star – just to balance it out a little bit, because I've had Trey Lance on my list the past couple weeks, I'm going to go Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay. I really like how he's looking in the pocket. I think that's his biggest improvement. Yeah, his throws are still struggling. I think he looked fine yesterday, and I feel pretty good with this offense. And I feel like Garoppolo does need some shine because everybody is talking about Trey Lance. As I said, I feel like he is moving maybe the best we've seen him since the pre-ACL injury. As I said last week, and this is part of what he did last week with that run he had, he's moving well, and that makes me feel very good. And he had the rushing touchdown, 4 for 7, 64 yards, didn't take a sack. I know it's a preseason game. I think it's time we start throwing more respect on Jimmy Garoppolo's name, and I'm going to start doing it by giving him my second star.
There you go. My second star is going to be Raheem Mostert. It looks very much just like the guy that we remember when he's upright and healthy and fast one cut in the hole. That zone read with him is going to be absolutely deadly. Can't wait to see him on the field. It's just going to be interesting to figure out whether they're going to, you know, dial his touches back, get him to an efficient 10 to 15 range as opposed to just the 18 to 20. And, you know, Trey Sermon actually looked really good too. He's not one of the stars, but I wanted to make sure that he got some shine there as well too. But yeah, Raheem Mostert, man.
Yeah, we talked about it during our running back preview. It's just like, this is the position we're not worried about. And I think we saw a large reason as to why yesterday. My number one star, and Jason, I told you earlier, I'm going to cheat on this one. I'm going Kyle Shanahan. He got me very excited to watch a preseason football game. And I feel like that's just worth it enough. If he can get this two quarterback system to work, if they so choose to use it in the regular season, and the Niners, let's just say, go 13-4, and they're leading the league in rushing, and Garoppolo and Trey Lance have a healthy timeshare on this quarterback position. Like, we're talking revolutionary shit here. And I'm going to say shit because I think it's that important. I don't cuss much.
Language.
It's revolutionary, man. Because, like, as we said, the comparison is Taysom Hill and Drew Brees, but that's not even fair. I posted the meme on Twitter yesterday. Drew Brees and Taysom Hill are Barry Bonds on the Pirates. And I think Garoppolo and Trey Lance have a chance to be Barry Bonds on the Giants. And you know exactly what that means. I mean, this is Drew Brees and Taysom Hill on steroids. I really think that this has a chance to be something. And I think this has a chance to be something revolutionary. I don't use that word a lot. It's revolutionary. And the way I picture Kyle Shanahan running plays or drawing up plays now with Garoppolo and Trey Lance, it's the scene from The Hangover where Zach Galifianakis is counting cars and all the numbers are just bouncing out. He's focused. He's locked in. He doesn't know what the hell's going on around him. Kyle Shanahan is Zach Galifianakis from that scene at this point. And we've known that already because Kyle Shanahan is the best offensive player caller in the game. And he got the book. He got the book that Zach Galifianakis went through to learn how to count cards. He got that in Trey Lance. So Kyle Shanahan, my number one star from yesterday.
Awesome. So I'm going to steal a coach as well too.
Oh.
Yes. Chris Kocurek. And the reason that this defensive line is so good is because of obviously the scheme that they have in the wide nine, but the way that they, you know, D'Amico Ryans wants to be a lot more aggressive, but Chris Kocurek gets the best out of everyone. We saw it with Kerry Hyder. Jordan Willis looks incredible. Jordan Willis was a cast off. You know, there's guys like Zach Kerr, all these other guys that they brought in. Arden Key revenge game against the Raiders. We didn't even talk about that. This defensive line, again, it's not going to reach the heights of 2019 and be as top heavy with those four because Ford, Bosa, Buckner, Armstead, that's really going to be hard to duplicate. But I can say very clearly that this line is deeper than it was in 2019, and they won't have to rely on those top four guys so much because they'll have fresh legs in there. And unfortunately, with Jordan Willis having that 6-game PED suspension, meaning, and Mo Hurst is hurt as well, is when they come back, there's going to be decisions that have to be made. Even Yarbrough had a good game yesterday. The defensive line has been standing out this entire time. I can't wait to see Dee Ford and Bosa in week one. God help Jared Goff. I hope Penei Sewell has worked out all his little kinks or whatever, because I think he's going to be a baller. No, I think he's going to be a baller. He's just struggling right now. Penei Sewell is going to be a baller. But he's just, hey, just right. But they moved him over. Like, what? Like, that's, he was great on the left side. Like, what? It's like, hey, you're really good on the left side, but nah, let's just move you over to the right side just because we think you're really good and you can do it. No, that takes a little bit of time. So I think Penei Sewell is going to be fine.
Yeah, but he will.
He better have it cleaned up pretty quickly in week one.
Yeah, this is one of those games that maybe Don Burr can confirm with us. Is Lion fans are saying, hey, man, like Penei Sewell is going to learn quick in this game. He's going to learn what it's like to play in the NFL, and maybe it could be something that helps him. I said it on the podcast. Penei Sewell was probably my favorite draft prospect this year. I don't agree with them moving him from left to right because that's just not what he is. I think he's better at the left side. But we'll see. Obviously, the games are coming up. Great call on Kusarik. Mm-hmm. Because defensive line is the position I'm most worried about with the cuts tomorrow, because there are going to be guys that are good that are going to get released. And it's not because
if Zach Kerr doesn't make this team, I'm be hurt.
Yeah, like there's going to be players like that. There's like, oh, Zach Kerr didn't make the team. And it has nothing to do with Zach Kerr. It has everything to do with how deep this team is at defensive line. That's the position I'm going to be, because you're going to scroll through the cuts and there's going to be the obvious ones. And then you're going to get to that defensive line and you're just going to be like, oh, okay, they got rid of that guy. That kind of, it's a bummer, but like, what are you going to do? So tomorrow's going to be it's going to be an interesting day, but as I said, it's going to be very exciting. Jason, do you have any last thoughts before we get out of here?
No, but the 49ers made it out of camp and everything relatively healthy, and that's a win in itself. No really big injuries. It sounds like the trade thing is minor. You know, D-Ford looks like he's on track for week one. So is Nick Bosa. You can't ask for anything more than that. You're pretty much going to see your starting defense in full in week one. And your starting offensive line, which is going to be probably Daniel Brunskill at right guard as well, too. Mm-hmm. I think you guys should, you know, get ready to see that. I don't think that there's any way that they can go to anybody else but him, you know, despite his struggles. But, yeah, you're going to see the full team week one. So that's really good. That's exciting. And I think that's something that 49er fans have been worried about the entire time. So, you know, the one thing is, hey, we want to see progression from players and we want to see how they're going to fit. But also, we need them to make it to week one and just be healthy. And that's really what's important.
Yeah, and they did that. They lost Justin School, they lost Tarvarius Moore, which obviously bummers, because those are rotational guys. Those are guys that were gonna get playing time. So you know, those are bummers. But outside of that, like they stayed healthy. They got through the preseason healthy, and that's huge. Jason, we have two positional previews left. We have the quarterback and the receiver. We're gonna get to those. We'll figure out the exact days we'll get those out. But hey, next week, Friday, I almost said April, September 10th, Lions 49ers preview. We're back to two episodes a week for sure. We're going to be back every Friday with previews, every Monday with reviews. And not to stir the pot a little bit, we might have a fun episode coming up where Jason Aponte and I might be in the same room. Who knows? Who knows? So we'll keep you guys updated on that. We will have the receiver episode and then the quarterback episode coming out, because we kept the quarterback last for obvious reasons, guys. That's the position everybody cares about. But as I said, next Friday, September 10th, we're back on the grind. We will have the full 49ers versus Lions preview. We're probably going to talk a lot of D-Ford versus Penei Sewell. So Don Burr, if you're still here, be there for that episode, because we might take some questions from you. We're going to go back to taking questions as well. Jason Aponte, as always.
Let's go Niners.
Let's go Niners.